The FAA will not snooze on sleep apnea. Flight attendants don't want you phoning home. And talks between Boeing and the IAM collapse. This is Aero News for Monday, December the 16th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Federal Air Surgeon Dr. Frederick Tilton said in a December the 12th FAA webinar that requiring testing for sleep apnea is a quote-unquote process change and therefore does not require the normal rulemaking procedures, so it would not be followed. He said AMEs would be given guidance by the FAA and the policy would go into effect in January. Tilton said if Congress passes a law requiring industry consultation, the FAA will comply. But until that is done, the initiative will go forward. The agency would require pilots to bear the significant cost of getting tested for OSA, as much as $5,000 according to some sources, and obtaining the requisite equipment for treatment if necessary. A bipartisan bill introduced last month would compel the FAA to follow established rulemaking processes, but that bill still awaits consideration by the full House. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, has begun an extensive public and congressional outreach campaign aimed at reversing a decision by the Federal Communications Commission that could lead to in-flight cell phone voice calls being allowed on board commercial aircraft. The FCC announced its intention on November 21st to review the current ban on in-flight cell phone voice calls and voted to proceed with the review last week. Over the past 3 weeks, hundreds of flight attendants have reached out to congressional representatives in support of a letter by Representatives Peter DeFazio, Democrat of Oregon, and Michael Grimm, Republican of California, that was submitted to FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler last week, strongly encouraging the continuation of the current ban. In addition, AFA continues to be a strong supporter of two recent bills that would offer legislation to keep the ban in place permanently. But it may not be the FCC's ban to lift. On Thursday, DOT Secretary Anthony Fox said that while it is the FCC's role to examine the technical feasibility of the use of mobile devices in flight, it is the DOT that must, quote, determine if allowing these calls is fair to consumers, end quote. Talks between the Boeing Company and Machinist Union District 751 ended after the two sides failed to reach an agreement on a proposed contract extension that would have guaranteed the 777X be built in Washington State. On Wednesday, the union had offered Boeing a preliminary contract proposal that would have guaranteed the company a total of 16 years of labor peace by extending the current contract, which has been in place since 2008, until 2024. On Thursday, however, Boeing countered with an offer mostly unchanged from the proposal that Machinist had rejected by a 2-to-1 margin on November 13. Boeing's offer Thursday was contingent upon union leadership recommending acceptance, which they refused to do. So, the search for a home for the manufacturer of the 777X site is continuing. Boeing said the selection process has continued in parallel with its meetings with the IAM. Boeing has received proposals from 22 states, many of which submitted multiple sites for consideration. A total of 54 sites are now being evaluated in the next critical stage of that process. Embraer has received a firm order for 60 E-175 jets from American Airlines. The contract also includes options for another 90 E-175s. The firm orders, which have a value of $2.5 billion at list price, will be included in Embraer's 2013 fourth quarter backlog. American Airlines will configure the E-175s with 12 first class, 20 main cabin extra, and 44 main cabin seats for a total of 76 seats. The delivery of the first aircraft is scheduled for the first quarter of 2015. Beechcraft says it is in the final stages of negotiations with a buyer for its Hawker 4000 and Premier business jet assets, and officials say they are hopeful the deal can be closed by the end of this year. Beechcraft CEO Bill Boyster said that attorneys for the two parties are reviewing the legal documents, quote, to get agreement of a last few key points, end quote, according to a report in the Wichita Eagle. The sale would include Beechcraft's Plant 3 facility in Wichita, which the unnamed buyer reportedly plans to use for composite component manufacturing rather than full airplane assembly. Voistier said he does not think that building airplanes is in the buyer's long-range plans. The assets are being sold as part of Beechcraft's restructuring under Chapter 11. When Aero News continues, how do you say smog in Chinese? Reality TV or just real bad TV? And hello, I'm an astronaut.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
The True Blue Power TSA35 series emergency power supply features lithium iron phosphate technology, resulting in an EPS that is 63% lighter than lead acid designs with a 10-year life expectancy. Available from your local avionics dealer.
Aero News continues now for Monday, December the 16th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Beijing has become one of the smoggiest cities in the world, and the reduced visibility from that thick smog has become an increasing factor in flight delays into the city. In an effort to improve airlines' performance in the city, the Chinese government will require captains of flights to Beijing to master low-visibility landings, according to a report from the Associated Press. Beginning January 1st, pilots on flights to Beijing from other major cities will be required to learn to land using the assistance of auto-landing equipment in visibility of 1,315 feet. An aviation official who was not authorized to speak to the media said that the Chinese government hopes to, quote, reduce the impact of flights by severe natural conditions, end quote. Flight delays in Beijing are often officially blamed on weather rather than pollution. One of the airplane repo men featured on the much-maligned Discovery Channel series Airplane Repo is fighting for a second season for the show, which has had less than spectacular ratings and which some think is at least partially faked. Ken Cage is the former banker-turned-repo man who's leading the charge to save the series, which so far has run for one season on the Discovery Channel. Cage told Corporate Jet Investor that the accusations that some of the events on the show are faked are completely unfounded. He said that it is true, however, that there are some accommodations made for television. Discovery is still in the process of making a decision about whether to renew the series for a second season. On his Twitter account, Cage has been encouraging fans of the show to email Discovery and let them know that they would like to see it continue. About that, our own ANN editor-in-chief Jim Campbell writes, quote, "Don't bother. The show makes much of the aviation world look foolish, risky, disrespectful to the legitimate legal issues involved, and just plain stupid. The samples of this programming we've watched have been an embarrassment to the aviation community," end quote. Jim, that's true of just about all reality TV. Yet the American people continue to clamor for and broadcast networks deliver shows like Lizard Lick Towing, Swamp People, Hardcore Pawn, Parking Wars, and other such drivel that plays to the lowest denominator. You'll recall last week when we reported on the story about 6-year-old Connor Johnson of Denver, Colorado, who started a petition to save NASA by increasing its funding. Well, when Gene Cernan heard about that petition, established on the White House We the People website, he just had to pick up the phone. Connor Johnson got the call on Wednesday, according to a report appearing in USA Today. Connor's phone rang, and upon answering, he heard, quote, "I'm an astronaut. This is Gene Cernan calling. I'm the last person to have walked on the moon," end quote. Cernan told the paper that Connor reminds him of himself when he was a small child. He encouraged the boy not to give up on his vision, saying, quote, "There's things you have got to do to go to the moon. You've got to dream about things that a lot of other people think you can't do, end quote. The petition has seen increased activity after his story first appeared on a Denver television station and has since spread rapidly through the media. However, the petition, which seeks to increase funding for NASA, is still short of its goal and must garner 100,000 electronic signatures by December the 29th to get the attention of the White House. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks as always for listening. You're now cleared for departure.